This evening. A couple announcements before we get started. We have small groups. We are doing spring semester, so if you want to get connected in a small group, please, please join. It's super important. You can talk to Pastor Kylan, or you can go in the back at the sign-up sheet. We have men's breakfast April 5th. Please sign up. Sign up again. It's in the back. You can talk to Kylan, I'm sure. And then ladies' coffee is this Saturday. I don't know how many like coffee. And like fellowship with other women. Apparently we're gonna have amazing scones, so please come. It's fine. They're gonna be great. So come this Saturday, be here. All right, everybody, let's stand on our feet and worship.
Oh, Shadows, you win every battle. powerful. Anybody? Now look, that's a nice song to sing. But do you believe it? Do you believe that there's nothing above his name? That even death couldn't hold him? He is the name above all names. Then why wouldn't you worship him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? You know what I mean? If you really believe it, not just sing a song, but you believe it, right? How about just for a minute? I know we have one more to get into here, but why don't we just raise our hands up and just worship him from your heart for a few moments? We praise you, Jesus. We worship you. Yes, your name is powerful. Yes, you are above all things, the name above all names. Yes, you are the King of Kings. You are high above every ruler and leader of this world, in what is seen and what is unseen. Yes, you are Lord of every Lord. You are higher above every principality, every power. There is no thing in the tangible world, and there's no thing in the unseen world that is not beneath you. You're above all. It is your name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. For you are Lord. And so today we are the creation that worships you. Because even in all of that power, you are good. And you're the God who saves us. You're the God who then delivers us. You're the God who sets us free. You're the God who judges in righteousness, true justice. You are the God who in his power will make all things new. But there's nothing beyond you. There's nothing you can't do. So we set our hearts towards you tonight once again. We set our minds towards you. The entirety of who we are, we worship you and we follow you. That we would see the beauty of who you are. This wonder of this God who creates and a God who saves. This God who is at times beyond our comprehension, but yet gets so personal that we know you. The God who creates the universe well beyond what we can see, but then the God who draws close to us. That's the wonder of who you are. For as the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. That powerful God loves each one of us, and we thank you for that. That you've drawn near to the crown of your creation, these relational beings that you made, because you love. Nothing else to do but to respond to you in our worship and respond to you with our praise, with our song and with our clapping and with our raised hands. To respond to you with bowed hearts and bowed knees. To respond to you with living a life reflective of you. So Jesus, have all of us tonight. We hold nothing back. That we're consumed by the fire of the Spirit. Lord, you fill us once again. to renew us and to refresh us, to remind us once again of who you are. We stir ourselves up towards you. Praise you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord. For we in this place confess you. We confess you as our Lord, our Savior. Wanting to be with us. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Down to the same. That your name is worthy to be praised. And we do so. Fill us, Holy Spirit, once again.
decided to come even though you didn't have to. Amen. That you're still turning graves into gardens today. That you're still overcoming the sins of this world. We just say, come. Come and have your way. We love you, Lord. We just give you our focus tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. We'll go around and greet some of your family of faith this evening. We're so glad to have you here with us.
All right, we'll give everybody a chance to get their kids checked in downstairs. And as that's happening, you can prepare your giving tonight. So if you have something for giving, offering envelopes and chairs in front of you, and you can get that ready. Live streamers, we're watching on Facebook or YouTube. It's good to have you on this Wednesday night. Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. It's good to be here with you. So you can get your giving ready. You can get your Bibles prepped. You can do all sorts of stuff right now. And along with the things that Teddy said at the front, Joy Fellowship is happening this Sunday. 5 o'clock. It's one of our small groups that happens, so see Bill or Patsy for information about that. And as Teddy said, the ladies' coffee is 1 week early this month. That's this Saturday at 9. All sorts of small groups happening. Don's group's tomorrow night, right? One of our men's groups, if you want to jump in on that tomorrow night, ask Don details about that. So lots of good small groups happening. And get connected to a small group. As we give tonight, what is the attitude of giving? Huh?
Joyful.
Yeah, cheerful heart. We're going to be joyful and cheerful in our giving. Why? Because we get to. Right? Way in the back. Yeah, okay. Somebody did. Yeah, amen. We get to. As you give tonight, That joyful heart is what God sees. Yes, we are to ask of him what to give, but it's not just the act of the giving. It's the heart that goes with it that means everything, right? Because you can give grudgingly, and I'm not sure that does a whole lot for you. Amen? Cheerful heart. So let me pray over that, or man, how about somebody pray over the offering tonight for me? And Lori just kind of looked at the back wall when I said that. She says, not me. You're right. I did call you out last time. I did. You pointed at Noel. Noel's like, no. Don, will you stand up and pray over the offering? I'm going to give Don a shot here. He'll be fine. What do you get?
A cup of coffee.
I have an extra mint in my pocket, as long as it didn't fall out and get Lynn on it. Amen. Thank you, Don. That was good enough. I might have to do that again sometime. Good job. Thank you. All right, get your Bibles out. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're talking about thought patterns of your life. Because the strongest thoughts that you have will be the direction that your life begins to go. And that means some of us need to change our thought patterns because the direction of our life doesn't go where it should be going. Okay? So we're talking about how to deal with this. And so the passage, 2 Corinthians 10, Paul writing here. And let's see, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 10, 1, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I love how Paul, he's just like, okay, I'm going to lay some stuff, but I'm coming meek and gentle, just so you know. I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold went away. And that's what they accused him of being, that when he's with them, he's not so bold, but when he writes, he's just like hammers them. I beg that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. So Paul finds himself at times defending what he has done. For though we live in the world, now how many know we live in this world? You can't, listen to me, you cannot run and hide from living in this world. You can lock yourself in, but eventually you got to come out, and you got to be around the world. You cannot pull yourself. So yeah, we live in this world, but we do not wage war as the world does. And there are several conflicts that are happening in our world right now. We don't wage war as that does, but also, in dealing with one another on a personal level, we don't wage war as society does, right? And Paul touches on these things elsewhere in the book of Ephesians. See, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, now, by the way, I forgot to say this. I'm reading out of the NIV. It may be a little bit different than what you see on the screen. That's ESV. I actually pulled off the shelf my very first preaching Bible. I yanked this thing out. It's just falling apart. Yeah, that's why I got new Bibles. Anyways, the maps in the back just fell out. I don't know where Paul went. All right. On the contrary, the weapons that we do fight with, they have divine power to demolish what? Strongholds. Okay? Now, that word demolished then shows up in the next sentence that Paul's writing. So he's drawing this together. What are these strongholds? Strongholds, we demolish arguments. Here are strongholds. Arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And connected to that is we take captive every thought to make it obedient to who?
Christ.
And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Now, he's talking there about dealing with people in Corinth. A stronghold is a place where a person or a group of people can be safe from attack. The best case of a stronghold, it holds the high ground. If you know anything about military, you want the high ground. Go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. They were after this little place called Little Round Top and Big Round Top. Why? The high ground, so they could see down. So stronghold is the high ground that seems to be in a way that you can't get in there. You can go there and be safe. Now, Paul's using that stronghold now in a negative sense. There are strongholds that are against the knowledge of God. And notice how he then draws it into your thoughts. We take captive. So we want to take captive thoughts that are in a stronghold of negativity and make them obedient to Christ. So as Paul's writing here, a stronghold is a thought pattern that does not line up with the knowledge of God. That's why Paul writes in Romans, in order to not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, what must you renew? Your mind. Okay? Because the strongest thoughts that you have will direct your life. So, as we said last week, strongholds, these thought processes that are against the knowledge of God, can show up in different ways and come into your life through different capacities. So, for instance, and this is an example we used last week, and I brought it up Sunday, when you were young, there could have been somebody in your life that said you are worthless and you'll never amount to anything good. A parent, a teacher, a coach, whatever. And that began because at the moment you didn't deal with it, that began a thought process that became your reality. And as that thought process went, there went a pattern of your life. I'm not good enough. See, I'm getting at these kind of thought patterns, and by the way, that is not of the knowledge of God, because you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. You've been purposed. You're empowered by all these different things. That goes against what God has said. And some of these things can be pre-salvation. Some of these things can pick up post-salvation. But there are things that have got into your thinking, whether it's through something somebody said, through a circumstance in life, through a fiery dart of the enemy that got in, and there's a thought process that begins. These become strongholds that we must be able to take captive and bring down and make it obedience to Christ. So what we want to do is we want to get super, super practical about this. Why? Because, again, we know people that simply struggle in things in life, not because of any lack of anything, but because of how they think. If you think you're no good, you can have all the talent in the world. And you do. Listen to me. Everybody look at me. Nobody's good at everything, but everybody's a 10 in something. You hear what I just said? And if you just said, I'm not a 10 in anything, this is what we're talking about. I mean, okay, see what I'm getting at? It could be a thought process of fear. It could be, let's say, lustful thought processes that you deal with. It's a wide variety of things that could be rolling around in your brain. So Paul's saying that we have divine power to demolish these things that set itself up against the knowledge of God. In other words, there is divine power to deal with this stuff. Now, as we said last week, by the way, let me say this again. There may be some hard truths about you. Just because you hear a hard truth doesn't mean it's a lie, right? Like I said, not everybody's good at everything, but everybody is 10 in something, right? You may have some stuff, it's just the reality. I could aspire to be an NBA basketball player and really think that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and take that verse entirely out of context and think I'm going to just walk on the court at some practice, whether I go to Indiana or the Pacers, and give me a tryout. I'm going to make the team because, you know, I'm purposed by Jesus. And after about 2 or 3 minutes, there'll just be an honest opinion, a hard truth about myself. I am not an NBA. I'm not even a YMCA basketball player. Did you see what I'm getting at? There are some realities about you, but for me to say, let's say I try and I fail, and I'm just a failure at everything in life, that's a lie. You see what I'm getting at? And that can become a stronghold of a thought process in my mind that then I don't try to do anything. You see what I'm getting at? Okay. So we're trying to be really practical about this. So what you have to start doing, so over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're gonna take this piece by piece. Now, listen, again, we're going to be very practical. What you have to start doing is you have to start replacing lies with what? The truth. Now, if you've been around here enough, you've heard me say this. We are not after behavior modification. What we're after is transformation. Yeah, there's a difference. Behavior modification is, I'm going to do my best to stop doing this. That could be any, that could be a thought process, that could be action, whatever. I'm going to try to stop doing this. You may be successful on some levels working hard with your will with it, but if you don't replace that with something else, you always venture back to it. I'm going to stop thinking that I'm worthless. I'm going to try. Okay, that's great. Good. But you can't just stop thinking it. You've got to replace it with something else. That's the truth. It's kind of like these thought patterns produce ruts in your life that you just kind of fall into. It's like a default mode of your brain. You just kind of fall into it. You've got to create new rut patterns that you begin to default into that instead. You got to replace this rut with this rut. You have to replace the lie with the truth. And there's a process to do so. Okay? Now, replacing lies with the truth. And by the way, some of you, the lie has become very normal to you. Well, that's just who I am. It may be actually comfortable to you. So I gave you all homework last week. Back row. Hopefully you guys did your homework. And Bonnie, you didn't cheat. All right? So your homework last week was to start to identify some of these lies that roll around your mind. So if you weren't here last week, you got homework to work on. And that's through reflection. That's obviously with the help and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. That could be, now that we're talking about this, in the future you feeling convicted about something that rolls around your mind. But when you begin to identify some of these lies, you have to start saying, okay, and you got to be honest about it. And listen, some of these lies, because we're comfortable with them, they are a form of self-pity that we live in. That's why you have to be honest with yourself and call it what it is. What we say around here all the time, sin is sin, call it sin. Don't give it space. The lies in your mind, call them lies. Call it what it is, even if you're comfortable with it. And you realize it's lies, it's against the knowledge of God, call it what it is. So, for instance, this thing that I'm worthless, I can be very comfortable with that, and all of a sudden, I like to throw myself pity parties because I'm worthless. Woe is me. You guys, that's a lie. If you were worthless, why did Jesus come and die for you? You're not worthless. That's a lie. Call it a lie. If that means then you got to quit throwing pity parties for yourself, put the party hat and everything in the closet and let it there. So you have to start identifying what these things are, but then what we do is we have to start replacing them with truth. So in other words, truth brings transformation. Without replacing with truth, you're just trying to modify your behavior. Truth brings transformation. And what is truth? What has God said? That's truth. Now, here's the thing. You may or may not identify what the root of it was. Some people will say, I remember when I was a kid. Some people go, I don't have no idea where this came from. That's okay. You may not always know why. But by the way, part of some of this, this is a little side note, some of this is you must practice forgiveness and healing. So if the example is there was somebody in your life that told you you were worthless and you'll never amount to anything and you're stupid and you're no good or you're ugly or whatever it is, and you identify, you remember that, learn to forgive them. That's part of healing in your life, okay? Because sometimes unforgiveness stops up the healing process. And part of the truth of the newness of it needs to come with the healing process. Now, if you don't identify, it's okay. If you can't identify where, oh, that's okay. It's not the end of the game there. But if you do, practice forgiveness and allow healing in your life, okay? But when Paul writes here, that verse 4, you go back to verse 4, Sawyer, please. Verse 4, thank you. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, these weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. Okay. This is first steps. We're going to do a step tonight, a step next week, and maybe a third. I don't know yet. What tool do you have to access divine power? Don't make this hard. Huh? Yep. What else? Huh? Prayer. Okay, prayer. Activation with the Holy Spirit based on truth, and we'll get to this truth next week. You participate in divine power with prayer. Right? Because of the activity of the Holy Spirit, because you're not powerful by yourself, right? You see, what you must do in the first step, and we'll get to the actual truth in creating new ruts next week. Again, this is very practical. This applies. This doesn't just apply to this. This applies to a lot of different stuff, by the way. You must be, everybody listen to me, proactive and purposeful in prayer in regards to these things. Okay? In other words, you don't let these things sit. You can identify that there's a lie that rolls around in my brain that's against the knowledge of God and go, that's nice, I've identified it. And just let it there and do nothing about it. You've got to start dealing with this. And the first step is you begin to be proactive and purposeful in prayer. So here's what I find. Okay, this is my experience of pastoring people for 3 decades. We complicate everything. We complicate it. It's not complicated if you simply look at what we're asked to do in the scriptures. We pray, and we pray in the name of Jesus, because this is where the authority and the power lies. And when you understand that there's something identified in my life, this is what I would do if I was you, and this is what I do for me. If I know that there is this lie that rolls around in my brain, I begin to daily pray, Lord, that is a lie. It is not of you. And I will begin to think differently based on the truth of what you have said. In the name of Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Whatever the root cause of it is, somebody did something, a circumstance, it was a scheme of the devil, that's like a cure-all antibiotic for the whole thing. You may not know the root, but you pray. Does all of that have to submit to the name of Jesus? Don't complicate it. In Jesus' name, I will not think. Now listen, this is where you may get uncomfortable. You have to stop throwing pity parties for yourself. I will not think that I am worthless any longer in the name of Jesus, because that is not what God has said about me. And you pray. And you pray, listen to me, every day. Proactive and purposeful. So I've shared it Sunday. We were talking, we were in the Sermon on the Mount, and I've shared this many times with you, that one of the easiest things I can talk about with my personal life is I had an anger problem. You know what I had to do? I had to start praying every day, I will live in the fruit of the Spirit of self-control to grow. And as I said Sunday, then I began to identify, it also had to do with gentleness and kindness. Lord, I will be gentle in Jesus' name. Grow that in me, Holy Spirit. And it became, listen, a regular part of my prayer life, proactive. But then what you also do is, if there's moments where something happens, where that thought process starts to roll, you have to stop and in the moment do what? Pray. Now, that's what we're going to say. We're going to talk about this next week. In those moments, especially, you're going to recall scripture. We're going to bring the truth to the lie that's creating new ruts. So we'll talk about that next week. But I'm not just waiting for this to pray then. I'm proactive in front of it, but I'm also in the moment then taking a step back and dealing with it. I won't let it sit. You see, in that you begin, and now listen, what I again have discovered when working with people run the race differently sometimes. I've had people that just doing these sort of things, and man, they come out of it pretty fast. Now, I've had some people, it just takes some time. For whatever reason. That's just truth. But the point is that until you find yourself someday looking back going, my goodness, I don't think that way anymore. Wow, that's just, praise Jesus. My life was changed. Until you have those thoughts, you pray every day. Right? And then when it crops up, you got to catch yourself. You can pray, Holy Spirit, convict me in these moments, whatever. You deal with it. Nope. In the name of Jesus, I will not think that way. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, right? That you are proactive and you are purposeful in your prayer. In other words, listen to me. Consistency wins the day. Consistency wins the day. See, Philippians chapter 4. Everybody, I think most of us would identify, know what this is going to say before we read it. But let's all turn there. Philippians chapter 4. Here's Paul talking about your mind in sort of a different way, but it's sort of the same way. Philippians 4:4. I'm sorry, I was letting you hang back there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. That's a good word right there. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now watch this, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by what? Prayer and petition, purposeful, proactive. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all what? Where does your understanding work? Right here. This is where you understand things. This is where your mind works stuff out. The peace of God will transcend your reasoning and your understanding to the point that even if you're in the midst of a mess, you still have peace. Transcends it. That would make no sense that I have peace in the middle of what's going on, but that's just the way I am. Because watch what happens. In that, it will guard, now watch this, it'll guard your what? Your heart, the seat of who you are, and your what? Your mind in Christ Jesus. Your mind, your thinking. These things get heart guarded because you present to God, well, your requests and your needs, and you trade them with peace. In the same way that our prayers are effective in what happens in our mind, drawing those two passages together. That what goes on up here matters. So replacing lies with truth, that is our topic next week. How am I going to draw truth into my prayers? How am I going to create these new rut patterns instead of defaulting into this pattern of rut? How am I going to get over here and fall into this pattern? But the same thing is going to be said next week. To dig a rut, it takes consistency. And you've got to deal with these things. These are avenues for divine power that's not of this world, waging the world as the world does, but how God works with us and empowers us to transform our minds. Amen? So, identify lies. You may know some, or as it comes up in the future. First step, now we're going to start praying because I've noticed something. Then next week, we're going to get scripture involved. You see how basic this is? It's simple. It's not complicated. But yeah, here's what I know. I find that we don't do these things. We find people in the same patterns of life over and over and over, mostly because they're not waging the war consistently to change what's happening up here. Amen? Okay, we're going to continue this next week. So come on back. So there was a period of my life where I didn't feel good enough. It wasn't because anybody said anything to me. It wasn't because the devil did anything to me. It was because as a junior high kid, people started making fun of me for wearing hearing aids. It was that simple. Junior high. And it developed a pattern in my thinking. So you know what I wanted to do? Anytime there was a group of people, I just went, okay, I'm not talking to you all. And I became a loner in my attitude. But that thinking is not what God has said about me. That was a circumstance of life. Could the devil tweak with that? Absolutely, yes, positively. But it started because of circumstance. Some kid saying something, trying to be funny. Anything if you're not careful. You start thought processes. Got to be aware. Start to deal with them. Amen? That's why when the Lord called me to pastor, I actually thought about it a little while later. I said, whoa, time out. That means I have to deal with people all the time. Nope, not for me. You know what the Lord had to do? Deal with my thought process. I had to change, be transformed into what? A purpose and a calling. That purpose, that call, that's what God said. I had to take, listen to me, I had to take, you think this is just easy? But listen, we do this stuff. I had to believe that God called me to be a pastor, which means I had to deal with people, versus what a junior high kid said to me in the seventh grade. You see what I'm getting at? So who was I going to believe? What truth was I going to, that truth which was a lie, but was I going to believe it's true? Sometimes we're blind. Sometimes we're blinded that the lie is actually the truth when it's not. What truth am I going to believe what God said or what that kid said? I remember her name, and I remember how it happened. I can tell you this day when it happened. Who am I going to believe? Well, I'm going to believe God, but just because, okay, I'm going to run with that doesn't mean that all of a sudden it was like, hey, I had to deal with the thought process. You see what I'm getting at? This is what we have to do. Amen? All right, let's pray. Her name was Jody, by the way. So if you're watching, Jody, I love you. No, I think we're friends on Facebook right now. Anyways, not that I'm ever on there, but anyhow. She wasn't being mean. She was playing around. But even in that, it just stuck with me. All right, anyhow, in Jesus' name. Lord, I praise you that you are transforming us. You're even helping us with these kind of things. Thank you, Lord. And I pray the truth is what we live by. The truth wells up within us. So we are in step with the Holy Spirit in where you're taking us in life. That these things are not sabotaging our process. And Lord, for those of us that may have to deal with some hard things, but it's okay because you're with us and you sustain us and you help us and it's your power. And we will pull down these thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. So I thank you for that in Jesus' name. We all say amen. All right, we'll come back next week. We'll keep on this. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week, Sunday morning. I'm looking forward to seeing you here again.